chapter 5. I'll announce what we covered this morning here in just a minute. Next Sunday morning, we're going to begin a series entitled Great Prophetic Misconceptions. There's a lot of misconceptions about the second coming, about the tribulation and all these things. And we're going to, about the Antichrist and all of those things. And we're going to deal with that for a while on Sunday morning. So I want to remind you of that. Then, of course, this coming Sunday night, we're going to look at things that will kill marriage. Things that will kill a marriage. About 7 or 8 things I want to give to you. So you make it a point to remember those two messages. Okay? Now, what we're doing, and I felt compelled to do this. I felt compelled to it all weeks, and that's the reason why we did this and didn't start our series today. But what we're looking at is we've entitled this message, Faith Alone. And that's what we've entitled the message. And what we did this morning is when I say faith alone, I mean that salvation is by faith alone. That's what I'm saying. That's what this church stands for. And that's one of the things that makes it different. That salvation is by faith alone. Period. There's a lot of people who say, well, we all agree that Jesus is the way. But then when you say, is it all Jesus? Is it all by faith in Jesus? Well, that's not all there is. And there's always some type of addition made to it. So that's what we dealt with this morning. We looked at what faith alone is and made 3 statements about it. And I'll give you those 3 statements here in just a moment. Now, tonight, what we're going to do is look at what faith alone is not. What faith alone is not, and again, I'll give you 3 statements about it. Here's the statements I gave you this morning. First of all, we'll define faith alone as being this, that salvation is accomplished through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, you must be willing to stand with me on this. That salvation is accomplished through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. You must know that deep down in your heart, and that should just make a tingle, so to speak, come up in your stomach when you hear it even said, because it's so true and such a part of your life. 3 statements about that. Faith alone is that you're saved by what Jesus did, not by what you do. That's statement number 1. And I'm not going to re-preach it, I'm just going to give it to you. Oh boy, I'd like to. Faith alone is that you're saved by what Jesus did, not by what you do. The sooner you realize that, the better off you'll be, and the sooner you'll have rest and peace. Number 2, faith alone is that you are complete in Him. Everything you needed in order to be saved from your sin, in order you needed to be saved from hell, was all accomplished in Christ. In Christ, you have everything you need to be saved from hell, saved from your sin, and sent to heaven. Complete in Him. Not halfway in Him, complete in Him. Salvation by faith alone is that you are saved entirely, entirely by grace. That's what faith alone. That's what faith alone is. Those 3 things. Okay. Now tonight we want to focus on what faith alone is not, because I feel that there's a great, huge misunderstanding to what we're saying when we say that you're saved by faith alone. People immediately misunderstand what you're trying to convey. So I felt a need to bring a message on what faith alone is, and I gave it to you this morning. And now I feel compelled to deal with a message to show you what faith alone is not. And I'm going to give you 3 statements about it. And these 3 statements that I'm going to make about what faith alone is not is what our enemies, I guess our opponents or what you want to call them, think that faith alone is. Faith alone isn't nowhere near, or faith alone is not nowhere near what other people think it is. So let's deal with what faith alone is not. Are you with me? Let's go ahead and give you the first thing, the first statement that we want to give. What faith alone is not. Faith alone is not a salvation without a change. Faith alone is not a salvation without a change. Now, a lot of times when you say, I believe you're saved by faith alone, right across the bat, many people think that you're talking about a salvation where no one changes. I'm going to tell you what tonight, folks, faith in Jesus Christ, a genuine, from the heart faith in Jesus Christ will produce a change on the inside of you. Let me talk a little bit about that, because salvation in Scripture is described as a new birth. A new birth. I was born again the day that I was saved. It is indeed a new birth. There is a lot of people, I do believe, that has made a profession of faith that has not had a genuine new birth. Would you all agree with that? There is people that have made professions of faith, but I do not believe that they've had a genuine new birth, because they've never in their life evidenced any change whatsoever. And my friend, when someone from the heart trusts Jesus Christ as their Savior, when from the heart they receive Him, there will be a change that takes place on the inside of them. Now, there's a word that starts with an R that goes with faith. Does anybody know what it is? Repentance. Faith and repentance. In other words, when you put faith in Christ, repentance happens at the same time. And what repentance is, it's a change of mind or a change of heart. You know where repentance happens at? Heart. It's an inward change of mind or a change of heart. That goes with faith. Now, if you have faith without repentance, do you know what you have? A dead one. Which is what James 2 is talking about, which we'll talk about that later. True saving faith, along with it, is accompanied with repentance. And there's an inward change that happens the day that someone is born again. In the new birth, you know what the Lord does? In the new birth, the Lord imparts to you a new nature. The nature of Christ. He puts in you a new man, the book of Ephesians says. He makes you. Now, notice what it says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, what's it say he is? He's a new creation. All new creation. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. He's a new creation, as Ephesians 4:24 says. He's created in righteousness and He's created in holiness. It's a new creature. It's like a whole new man. And that's what happens in the new birth. Think about it. If you take an old dead sinner and you put in him a new divine nature of Jesus, you put a new nature in his heart, you change his heart. You know, the book of Hebrews says that when someone's born again, He writes His laws on your heart. He don't write them on tables of stones. He writes them on your heart. He puts in you the Holy Spirit. Now, brother, you do all that to an old dead sinner and you make him alive on top of everything else, you will see a change in his life. And true saving faith will produce that. Will produce a change. Do y'all believe that? So, faith alone doesn't mean salvation without a change. Can I use some illustrations for you? Turn to the book of Luke 19. Let me give you this one. New creation. Are you a new creation? Do you have a new taste? You know when He puts it. You know when He puts the new nature in you, it gives you what I like to call a spiritual taste. Do you have a spiritual taste? I love spiritual things. And that's the result of this repentance. That's the result of my change of heart. That's a result of that imparted new nature He put in me the day that I was saved. I have a spiritual taste. I love spiritual things. Do you? Can you see that in you? Now, I'm just asking you. Do you have a spiritual taste? Do you love spiritual things? And if someone's been born again, they have one. I read this in a book today. It's a little bit different than what I read in the past. If I can find... it says the new birth... let me see if that's the right one. No, this is it. In a believer's life, when he begins to live according to the Bible, he will seek to love the Lord above all else and follow Him. This is the results of the new birth. He will seek to love the Lord above all else and follow Him. Y'all believe that? He will meditate on the Word of God and obey it in all aspects of his life. He will pray, thanking and praising God and praying for others and himself. He will seek to be pure, honest, and truthful. He will love other people according to the Bible. He will follow the Lord in baptism, church membership according to the teachings of the Bible. He will seek to be regular in church attendance and giving his tithes and offerings and using his talents for the Lord. He will worship the Lord and fellowship with his people in church. He will seek to be faithful to the Lord. When he sins, he will confess his sins to the Lord and seek to make things right with those he has wronged. My friends, that's a spiritual taste. And if you're born again, you best have it or there's something wrong. There's something wrong. True saving faith brings about a new birth. There will be a new birth there. And you will be a new creation in Christ. And you will have a spiritual taste as a result of that. You will indeed love spiritual things. There is people that's made professions of faith and maybe done it 30 years ago, and in 30 years they have no spiritual taste. They don't care about God's house. They don't ever open God's Word. They don't ever sing to the Lord. They don't ever pray unless they're in trouble. That's the only time they will pray. They don't seek to witness. They don't have absolutely no spiritual taste. And I hate to do the funeral of anybody like that. Hate to. It's hard. Family comes and says, oh, 40 years ago they made a profession. But I know in that 40-year time frame, they never evidenced any desire to serve the Lord. I hate to do those kinds. Because I know in my heart, a new birth, genuine saving faith will evidence itself in a changed life. How many knows that besides me? We know that. You'll be able to see that. So faith alone doesn't mean your lifestyle doesn't change. I didn't read my text I told you to turn to before I got wound up on that last thing. So we'll go ahead and read the text we turned to. I mean, you see what we deal with. I hate to do the funeral of anybody like that. I'm telling you, true saving faith will change you. John Piper wrote in a book, "The faith that justifies also sanctifies." And it does. Because the change that happens on inside of you will produce a change. Luke 19 is a story about Zacchaeus. We talked a little bit about Zacchaeus last week. And Zacchaeus, of course, was an old covetous, old sinner. He was. He lived for money. And he swindled people out of a lot of money. People would have hated him. I mean, he was a crook. He's just crooked as all get out. And he lived for a gain. That's why he conducted his life that way. Well, he was up in a sycamore tree one day, and the sweet king of Israel walked by and looked at him and said, "Zacchaeus, he knew him. He knew him since before the foundation of the world." And he said, "Zacchaeus, get down." You know, he'd never met him personally. "Zacchaeus, you come down. I'm going to your house today." And he goes and he has dinner. Wouldn't that be awesome? Jesus came to his house to have dinner. He sits down and he meets the Master and meets the Messiah. Now notice what happens. After meeting the Lord, there's a drastic change happened to this old covetous man. Verse 8 says, "And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I've given to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I've restored it fourfold.' And Jesus said unto him, 'This day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham. The Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost.'" Was he saved by giving half his goods to the poor? Well, if you could be saved that way, Jesus would never have to die, would he? But you know, giving half his goods to the poor was the evidence that he had been saved. Money wasn't his God anymore. Jesus was his God. And whenever he put faith in Jesus Christ, it produced a change in Zacchaeus. Could you imagine what people thought when up to their door walked this wee little man by the name of Zacchaeus that was crooked and lived just for money and knocked on your door and said, "Brother Lee, I took $50 from you. Here's $200. I've met Christ. I'm saved. And I want to pay back the things that I've done wrong." And he restored that back to you. You say, "What in the world's got into him?" The Lord got into him. Genuine saving faith will change you. Hear me. So when I say faith alone, that doesn't mean that that there's not a change in your conduct or not a change in your life whenever you're saved. There will be a change. There must be. And that's the effect. That's not the cause of your salvation, but that's the effect of it. It'll produce a change. Changed Zacchaeus, did it not? In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, turn there with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 8. I'm sorry, verse 9. Know ye not, 1 Corinthians 6, 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, or idolaters, those that worship adulterers, effeminate is a homosexual, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, which again applies with homosexuality. Two words applies to homosexuality in this text. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, does that mean that or not? Sure does mean that. And what's the rest of it say? Verse 11 says, such were some of you. Everybody say were. Man, there's the people in the church of Corinth. They were members of that church that one time were practicing homosexuals. At one time were idol worshipers. At one time were adulterers. But the day that by faith they received Jesus Christ as their Savior, that changed them. There was an evidence change in their lifestyle. The Lord, when He saves you, as a result of repentance, as a result of the impartation of the divine nature, as a result of writing His laws on your heart, as a result of putting in you the Spirit of God, do you not think there will not be a change? One of the problems today anymore is I'm not talking about here, but I'm talking about here's what we have. You got people who run down the front of the aisles and make a profession of faith and go out completely unchanged, go out that Monday and tell everybody they're saved, and that evening run out and get drunk with everybody on their job. That's what we have. And the world looks at that and they think, boy, is that Christianity? No, that's not Christianity. True saving faith effects a change in your life. All God's people said. You must believe that. And you know what? Other people must hear us say that, because Baptists are falling down on the balance of this teaching. We leave people with the impression that we believe by saying faith alone that there's salvation without a change. And that's not what we're saying at all. And we need to tell people that. I remember debating with a preacher one time and him talking about that. He's the same one that said that him keeping the commandments is what kept him saved. And I told him he was his own Savior. And then I looked at him. I said, I felt sorry for him. I really did. I'm glad I did. I wasn't mad. Sometimes I usually get mad. I hate that. About 1 minute and I've had all I can stand. But I'm getting better at that. So I felt sorry for him. And I said, bud, I said, I believe in living right just as much as you. I said, you've worked with me. Do you see me carrying on? No, Jeff, I don't. I don't. I see you out in your truck reading your Bible and things. And the boys here will talk to you about the Lord and say things. But I said, do you see that in my life? I said, I believe in living godly. I believe in being moral. You know what he said? I've never met a Baptist like you. You know why it is? They're so busy bashing eternal security, which it's important, but they don't have the balance that goes along with it. Do you see what I'm saying, Brother Bill? Y'all agree with me? You got to teach people, hey, we don't believe you go out here and live in sin. We don't. That's not what we're about. Never has been. But we've left people with that impression by not preaching the balance. The second half of this message is the balance that goes with what I preached this morning. It has to be a proper balance. There is an evidence change in the life of someone that is truly born again that comes as a result of repentance. That comes as a result of the divine nature. That comes as a result of writing His laws on your heart. All these things will produce a change. And you know what? If you've been born again and you get out here in sin, that change will still be evidence there because it will kill you. It'll bother you. You won't be able to find no peace there or no happiness there. The Bible teaches me this, that in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, that if a person is without chastisement, in other words, if a person can go out here and live in sin and there's no evidence of the chastening rod of God in their life, the Bible says they're a bastard and not a son. That's strong language. That means if someone's born again to him and they go out here and live in, there will be evidence of the chastening rod of God in their life. Do y'all agree with that? He will whip your tail because you are his child. And he just doesn't let you go. And he indeed will do that. So faith alone is not salvation without a change. Give this CD to somebody that needs to hear it. Because there's a lot that needs to hear it, especially those that don't believe in eternal security needs to hear this message. They need to hear it from you. They need to hear it from me, of course, if you give them the CD. And I don't mind telling it to them. Far too many people, they don't believe in, they don't believe faith alone because they look at people who claim that they believe faith alone and there is no change. There is no change in them. They look like the world, act like the world, speak like the world, do like the world, and they have no spiritual taste. But they got a profession. And they'll argue eternal security with you. Not everybody that believes these doctrines are born again either. There'll be an evidence change when someone's saved. Stand with me on this too. Number two. Second statement. That was the first statement. Faith alone is not salvation without a change. Number two, faith alone is not salvation without works. The change that's wrought in the heart at salvation, true saving faith will produce works. You ever heard the text in James 2 that says faith without works is? It's a dead faith. Because a true saving faith will produce works. It can't help but do it. It's going to be there. It's not the cause, listen to me. It's not the cause of your salvation, it's the effect. You see, old Zacchaeus went over there and he took half his goods and gave it to the poor, restored back things that he'd stolen. Was that good works? Sure it was. Did that cause him to be saved? No. It was the effect of it. The effect of your salvation will be good works. You know old Rahab the harlot, you can read about her in the book of Joshua. By the grace of God, she became a believer in the God of Israel. I think that's an awesome thing of the Lord saving an old harlot like Rahab. And you know how the people of Israel know that she was saved? There was two spies that went into the city of Jericho, and you know what she did? She hid them on top of her house. And when she went to explain to them why, she said, We know what your God did in Egypt. She was a believer in the God of Israel, buddy. She had accepted Him. And you know, she even figures in the Christ line. What a message of grace she is. But you know how she showed she was born again? By hiding the spies. In other words, true saving faith will evidence itself in works. It's not the cause of your salvation, but indeed it is the effect. You know, when you go to work tomorrow and you tell someone you've been saved, you know what they look for? They look for a change. And if they don't see a change, you know what they'll do? They'll come over to me and they'll go, "Preacher, he ain't no different. Ain't nothing embarrasses me any worse than that either. They ain't no different. Talk like we do. Still doing the same thing." It's embarrassing. But it's not it's embarrassing for them, is it not? Looks bad. Hard to explain that, is it not? Hard to explain it. Titus 1 says, talks about people that professes to know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable unto every good work a reprobate. Man, folks, we believe in good works. Do you? Bible teaches it. Then Ephesians chapter 2. Proper balance. We're balancing things out here a little bit. And when you talk to people, you need to balance things out. They don't know what to talk. They don't know what to think when they hear the balance part from a Baptist. They don't know what to think. It shocks them. It does. It really does. Try it and see. Well, I didn't know y'all believed that. Yeah. Yeah, we do. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, we all know. Do we not? For by grace are ye saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of what? No, you're not saved by your works. Because you couldn't do enough, first of all. Your works won't atone for your sin either. Only the blood can. Now, but we need to read verse 10 along with Ephesians 2, 8. Now, here's your balance. It makes clear you're not saved by works in verse 9. But in verse 10, it makes it clear we are His what? We are His workmanship. And we've been created in Christ Jesus. Unto good works. Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Sure has. He's created us into... He's brought about the new birth in your life. He's made you a new creation. One reason is to... For good works. For good works. Now, do you know why we want to have good works, don't you? We want to have good works so we'd be saved. No. We want to have good works to keep saved. No. We want to have good works to bring glory to our Father. Matthew chapter 5 says this to him. Let your light so shine. If you don't have any good works, you ain't got no shining light. I've told you this before, not trying to be funny. But people should know you're saved without having to wear a t-shirt that says, I'm a Christian with a 3-foot cross hanging off of it. People should know you're a Christian by the way you act, the way you talk, and the things that you do, and the things that you don't do. Do y'all agree with me? Faith without works indeed. A faith that didn't produce any works is a sign of a dead faith. A dead faith is not a true saving faith. And I'm telling you that we need to preach this more because I feel that there's a lot of people that's made a profession that's never truly been born again and their faith is deader than a doornail because it don't produce anything. Don't produce nothing. Oh, yeah, I've talked to people. Oh, yeah, I'm saved, Jeff. I made profession 35 years ago. Well, do you ever go to church? No, don't want to. I have church here at the house. Well, can you not walk? Yeah, I can walk. You don't want to go to church? Well, going to church don't save you. Know that. But if you're saved, you're going to want to go to church. I want to go to church. I realize this ain't the only place in the world you can worship, but for crying out loud, I'm going to try not to yell anymore. But for crying out loud, Jesus established the institution of the church. If you never needed it, He wouldn't have established it. And He wouldn't be calling men to pastor them to teach and feed the flock. You need to be here in God's house for crying out loud so that you can learn and grow and feed off the fellowship and feed off the Word of God and worship Him. No, I don't want to go. You ever talk about the Lord? No. Ever pray? Very rare, unless I need something. That's what we got. And I'm telling you, we do wrong all the time, but never question. Listen to me. We do wrong, but never questioning that. Well, you know, he said he believed in the Lord. That's what we do. We said he believed in the Lord, and you know, you're not saved by your works. I know that. But if they're truly born again, we know, according to that book, that it'll evidence itself in a change. And if we don't see it, there's something wrong. And we do wrong, but not pointing it out. We do. I said, well, brother, you don't have no desire for His Word. You have no desire for His contact. You have no... Let me ask you something. I haven't figured this out yet. This is just a temporary little dwelling we got here. Aren't you glad? This is a little toast of paradise for me. Heaven is the real house of God, is it not? It's a house of God, heaven. I got a home in the Father's house. If you don't like God's house here, what's the use to go to heaven for you? If your spiritual taste ain't tuned into the house of God on this earth, how in the world are you going to enjoy paradise if you don't have no spiritual taste? Do you see what I'm trying to say? If you don't like it here, if you don't like seeing the Lord here, if you don't like praying the Lord here, if you don't like His Word here, then how in the world are you going to like it there? You know what people want? Let me tell you what people want. People want a fire escape in Christ, and then they want to go out and do whatever they want to do. That's what they want. They're scared to death because for he's raised in church or whatever, and they're scared to death of hell, and they want saved by hell, but for crying out loud, they don't want to serve the Lord either. And you can't unplug that from the other. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, new creation. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. And a true, genuine faith in Christ will produce that in you. And people will see it. People will see it. It's not the cause of your salvation. You know I don't believe that. But my friends, it is the effect of it. And you'll see it. Turn to the book of Titus with me. Turn to the book of Titus. The book of Titus is an awesome book. It deals with this subject over and over again. Here's what we got. Let me just look at the verses of Scripture here. Y'all care? Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 1, I'm sorry. Verse 16 is a verse I quoted a little while ago. This describes some people. I pray that this don't describe you. They profess, verse 16, that they know God, but in works, what do? In works they deny Him, being abominable, and in every good work they're a reprobate. Verse 14 says of Titus chapter 2, who gave himself for us, Titus 2:14, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. That means a purchased people. Zealous of what? Zealous of good works. That's what it says. Titus chapter 3, and I'll show you why I'm doing this message and maybe you'll appreciate it. Verse 8, Titus was a young preacher. Listen to what he's saying. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will, that thou affirm constantly. It doesn't say affirm sometimes. You affirm these things, preacher. You affirm these things constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Titus chapter 3 and verse 14, let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. Would you like to have a few more? How many times does it encourage God's people to live a godly, righteous, moral life? Because you represent Jesus Christ wherever you're at. Good works is for the purpose of bringing glory to the King, not for bringing glory to yourself. And if you do your good works for the glory of yourself, you're doing them for the wrong reason anyway. And if you're doing your good works to be saved by them, you're doing them for the wrong reason. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. People can say, boy, I tell you. Old Timmy Bailey, look here. Look at the change in that man. Look what the Lord has done with his life. And that comes as a result of seeing works. Wouldn't you like that to be said about you? It gives you a good name. It gives you a good testimony. And that's the purposes of good works, to bring glory to your Father. Faith alone doesn't mean that it's a salvation without works. Do you know how many people need to hear that? I'm going to put that on the radio, probably. And I believe I've done put that on the radio. And I'm going to put it on there again. Because people need to know that we stand there. That's caused a lot of people a lot of harm. Okay, let's give you the two. I'm not done. I'm going to wind it up. No, I got another point. Faith alone is not a salvation without a change. Faith alone is not a salvation without works. Works is the natural result of a true, genuine heart change. Do y'all agree? You're going to see that. And then if you get out here in sin, the Lord's going to deal with that too, because you're His child. He'll whoop you. Now, if you can get out here and do that and there not be no evidence of that, then you need to take a look at yourself, because there's something wrong. Number three, faith alone is not salvation without a walk either. You have a walk. Do y'all believe you have a walk with the Lord after you're saved? Oh my, is that not the most blessed part of this life, is a walk with Christ? And the closer your walk with Christ, the happier you are. How many times have you heard me say that? The closer your walk with the Lord, the happier you'll be. I can guarantee you, if you're sitting in those pews tonight and you're saying, you know, I'm closer to the Lord today than I was a year ago, I bet you're happier today than you was a year ago. That's the natural result of a walk with the Lord. He saves you, and now you're to have a walk with Him. Turn to the book of Ephesians now. Turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4 and 5. We're going to look at probably a couple things here. And then we're going to start to quit. Folks, you need to have the balance. Do y'all see what I'm saying? You got to have the balance. I'm preaching balance today. I made it clear this morning what faith alone is, salvation by faith alone. But now I'm going in tonight and giving you the balance of that and showing you what that does not mean. Because I'm telling you, when you say faith alone, people think you are saying salvation without a change and salvation without works. Because in many people, that's what they see. It's hard to overcome, Brother Bill, what people see. Hard to overcome that. Faith alone is not salvation without a walk. How is your walk with Jesus Christ tonight? How is your walk with Christ? I didn't ask you how much money you made. I didn't ask you about it. I am asking you, how is your walk with Christ? Or you have a close walk with the Master? You know, one of the greatest testimonies, I think, in the Word of God is that about Enoch or Enoch. You know what it says about Enoch? It says that he walked with God. What else you want? What else would you like to be able to be said about you? He walked with God. You know, old Abraham, yet the Bible says about him, it says he was called the friend of God. Are you God's friend? Is he your very dear, close, personal friend? Do you have a walk with him? Or do you have no walk with God no more? You once had, but you don't now. After you say by faith alone, you will have a walk with God. You won't have a sit with God, you'll have a walk with Him. Walk with God simply refers to your life afterwards. The book of Ephesians chapter 5, it says in verse 8, "For ye were sometimes darkness." It means before you were saved, you was in darkness, you was blinded. You was a part of under the control of the devil. And it says in verse 5, "Ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord." First Peter 2 says, "He called you out of darkness into His light." He did that for you. Isn't that wonderful? Now what does else the verse 8 says? Walk as a child of light. Walk like it. If you're a child of light, if you're a child of the King, you know what that simply means? Live like it. Act like it. Conduct yourself like it. I used an illustration years ago, and I think it's true. Timmy will probably remember this. Maybe he won't. He's probably getting water or something. Our last football game in 77 in the regular season was against Scott. You remember that? And they wasn't no good. And we was the number one rated double-A team in the state. And We wasn't wearing him out at all in the first half. I mean, we was nervous because, you know, if we won, we'd go 10-0. So everybody was on edge and everybody was playing sloppy and no good and things. And we was all going in that long walk into the locker room and thought, oh no, when he goes in there, he's going to go ape. He's going to kick lockers and holler and scream. It's going to be awful. And we went in there, and old Coach Jennings, he never hollered one time. You remember, right? He'd come in here, he'd just come in and circled us all around in the shower wall there. And he said, now, boys, are y'all supposed to be the best double-A team in the state? Now, why don't you go out the second half and act like it? That's what that text means there, same thing. You're a child of light. Live like it. Conduct yourself like it. Because for after all, you represent the King, and it's His name's at stake. It's His name's at stake. Have a walk with Him. You know, you can't walk with the Lord and live in sin. You can't do it. You got to make a choice. Which one to see? Either you're going to walk in sin or you're going to walk with the Lord. You can't. That is a choice there. And if you're going to have a fellowship with Christ and you're going to have an influence in Christ and you're going to have a life that accounts for something, you can't live in sin. I'm not saying you'd be perfect because no one really can they? There's failures, but I'm telling you, when you know Christ, your life needs to show it in the way that you live. All God's people say that. I really do feel, and I've mentioned this before, that this balance, these past 50 or 100 years, is what's missing in the Baptist church. Mike Shaman, you agree with me? This balance. A lot of the reason why people don't accept some of the things we believe is because one reason they never heard them, and one reason that what they think they are. And you got to realize the reason why they think they are that way is because that's what they see in the lives of the many people. It's hard to overcome, Brother Coy, what people see. We're going to bring this to a close. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, faith alone is not salvation without a change. Faith alone is not salvation without works. Faith alone is not salvation without a walk. There'll be a walk you have with the Lord. Faith alone is that you're saved by what Jesus did, not by what you do. Faith alone is that you are complete in Him and that you're saved entirely by grace. That's the three statements about each one. I think that'll give you a good balance. There may be someone that you need to give this CD to. I recommend it to anyone that are stomping hard against eternal security. This might be a good message for them to hear because this balance could possibly help them out. If you're here tonight and you're born again and you're saved and you're living in sin, then that you need to make a decision to either walk with the Lord, if you're going to walk with the Lord, to leave that lifestyle, to leave that sin, and serve Him again. And I'm going to call upon you to do that. And you can do that. And the Lord will forgive and restore and give you peace. He's did that for many other people here that's done the same things. If you're here tonight and unsaved, and you're unsaved, you can't have a walk with the Lord till you first put your faith in Christ Jesus as your Savior. I'm going to encourage you to do that. If you're here tonight and maybe the Lord has spoken to you, I think it's the Lord's will for someone that's born again to be a part of one of the Lord's churches. Matter of fact, I had one come this morning following the services. I'm going to surprise you Wednesday night. I'm bubbling over to tell you who it is that I'm going to present to the church for membership. And if you're here tonight, and maybe the Lord's spoken to you about that. This church is a church that stands for faith alone. You should desire to be a part of such a church. support it and put yourself behind it. And if the Lord directs you to do that, then you need to do something about it. If the Lord directs you, the Lord adds to the body such as pleases Him. Let's all stand, please.